Chapter 21. Khan of Khans. Courage's Reward. Brothers at War. Palace Outworks, Daylight Wall, Section 16, 7th of Quartus. The Khan was alone, and the enemy saw immediately what a prize was within their grasp. Hundreds of Mortarian's sons closed in from the fog, bolt guns blazing. His armour sparked with impacts. For the moment, it withstood the assault, but even his panoply was not immune to concentrated fire. The Warhawk lived by one rule of war above all others. One learned the moment his adopted family were slaughtered by the Kuriyeds and borne out in his war against the Palatine on Tregoris. Attack was the strongest form of defence. The Khan fought with silent fury, charging into the ranks of the Death Guard with his tulwar spinning in a blurring figure of eight. He crashed into them without slowing, his sword cutting them down. Ceramite was atomized by the blade's disruption field. Viscera spilled onto the earth. Polluted blood showered him. Through his armor filters, he smelled the corruption upon Mortarian's sons. Theirs was sickness of flesh and soul. They fought slowly, without the finesse of other legions, but the doggedness they were known for had been intensified by their fall into darkness, and no matter how many he killed, they pressed at him without cease. In the thick of them, he was safe from the firestorm they unleashed. Hand-to-hand combat was on his terms, not theirs. The Death Guard favoured disciplined lines and overwhelming close-range fire to bring down their enemies, taking whatever they received in return with grim stoicism. The Khan refused them their preference, leaping among them, barging down ranks before they formed. He fought unpredictably, throwing off the offensive of his foes, who rightly guessed he wished to regain the palace. Though he rushed them and pushed them back, or cut diagonally through their formation, always the pattern of his movements took him closer to the defences. If he was forced to take 50 steps away from the walls to throw them into disarray, he would take 51 back. His fury would have inspired 1,000 bards had any been able to see it. The fogs made his fight a lonely struggle. Hidden from all knowledge, he faced the Death Guard alone, his vox and locator beacon jammed by haywire ordnance. The enemy died by the dozen, for not one was the match of a Primarch. But though he fought like a god of old, he was but one being against an army, and not even the sons of the Emperor were tireless or supplied with infinite battle fortune. The first cut to break through his armour came after his 40th kill. A son of Mortarion lunged at the back of his knee while he was engaging four to the front. The weapon he sought to slay a Primarch with was a simple combat knife, but perseverance pushed it through the armoured ribbing of the joint seal. The Khan felt the blow as an angry hot sting, and the attacker paid for the injury with his life. The Khan smashed backwards with his tulwar's pommel, his emperor-given strength caving in ceramite perished by rot and the greening head beneath. He bellowed in anger, slashing across at transhuman chest height to drive back the assailants to his front. Three of them died in a storm of disruption lightning, their innards laid open to the chemical fog. A fourth lost his left arm. A fifth took a blow to the head that spun him around and knocked him down. The Khan would have finished him, but he was reaching instead for his damaged left knee, trying to pull out the knife lodged in his suit. At the first attempt, his fingers slipped off a blood-slicked hilt made for hands smaller than his. His second attempt was foiled by a renewed attack. The knife penetrated 7 centimetres into his flesh, no more, interfering minimally with the bones of his joint. He had suffered far worse from deadlier weapons and fought on. Trusting to his engineered physiology to blunt the pain, he pressed forwards. But as he did so, he felt the strength running from his body, along with his unstaunched blood. Another Death Guard died, then another. Explosives were raining down on him now from the enemy side, seeking him out, as the 14th Legion shelled their own troops in their lust to slay a Primarch. The Khan wondered if Mortarion saw his battle there, and grimly ordered his death, whatever the cost to his sons. There was a soulless pragmatism to the act, typical of the Lord of Death. The fog swirled with the rain of fire, lifting to reveal a horde of warriors in dirty white and green. A hotness spread from the piercing knife, infecting his blood with a fever. Incredulous, the Khan fought still, but the touch of worry grazed his heart. Never in all of his days had he been ill, but he instinctively recognized disease in him. He was human, after all, on some distant level. His bones ached like ice, and his flesh blazed like the forge. Sweat dripped from his brow. He looked around at his brother's corrupted sons, and wondered what awful pact had been agreed to make them so, and give them the power to sicken a Primarch.
Mortarion! What have you done?
He shouted. There was no answer. His body warred with the infection of the knife. Well-being came and went, as the knife's poisons overcame each trick his engineered physiology deployed. He scrabbled for the knife again as he fought, his great tulwar burning through the air to obliterate yet more of the traitors. But he could not take enough time to pull the knife free. It was so firmly embedded, and too delicate for his fingers to easily pluck out. A surge of bile rose in his throat. His limbs shook. He was slowing. The enemy were gathering closer, like the pack hunters of ancient Earth's steppes, closing in on the great beasts of those times. His next blow was weak enough to be turned aside. Arms clad in algae green gauntlets grappled with his forearm. With a bellow of anger, he wrenched himself free and stood for a moment unmolested, before they surged forwards, hacking and stabbing with more diseased weapons, and dragged him down. The Khan of Khans ends his days, he thought, not upon the sea of grass in one final glorious charge, but dragged down and butchered in the mud. They wrestled with him, their filthy knives dragging grooves into his ceramite. They tried to get at the joints in his arms, groin, legs and neck, crawling on him like vermin. He threw them off, once, twice, but the third time was an exhausted heave. His body burned with disease, and his strength left him. A creature of unclean gods, they were no longer the Emperor's work, brought forwards a huge rusted axe for the executioner's stroke.
"I am Jagatai Khan!"
he shouted, the passion of his words driving them back.
"I am Jagatai Khan, loyal son of the Emperor, and I have ridden well."
The axe swung up to its apex and hung poised on the cusp of descent. It never fell. The legionary bearing it fell backwards, his headless corpse pulled over by the weight of his weapon. Jet bikes cut through the gas, and the air was filled with the sound of engines and Shigorian voices.
"The Khan! The Khan! To the Khan!"
A warrior of the Ordu leapt from his steed, the speed of his fall turning him into living ordnance that ploughed through the grimy ranks of Mortarion's brood. The warrior was brought to an end as he attempted to rise, hacked apart by a flurry of rusted dull blades. But he had done his work. His gene father was free. The Khan erupted from the pile of Death Guard, his tulwar flaring again with the lightning of its energy field. This time, he firmly grasped the knife hilt sticking from his leg. This time, he wrenched it free. The source of contagion removed, his body redoubled its efforts to purge the sickness. The disease fought with a traitor's hate to undo his cellular biology, but the light of ancient knowledge shone from every curl of the Khan's gene code. Defeat was inevitable. Still weak, still shivering, the Khan went back on the offensive.
"My Ordu! My Ordu! To me! To me! Chikoris calls! Ride to me!"
Flights of jet bikes streaked overhead, twin bolt guns tearing into the foe. Putrid organs ruptured in rusting armour, and they fell. Land speeders banked around, vaporising the Death Guard with their melter guns and hammering them to pieces with heavy mortar fire. Now the sons of Mortarion turned their attentions outwards. Away from the Khan, they formed their lines and opened up, weight of fire accomplishing what aim could not. Jet bikes were shot from the sky to gouge tracks of flame and blood into the horde. Warriors, punched from the saddles, were pinned down and slain. The Khan abandoned his dancing feints and misdirection, pushing instead directly for the wall. The fog parted. Between him and the palace, a company of Death Guard formed three lines, all presenting bolters. Some fell to bolt or shell fire from the wall, but their ranks closed up as each warrior died. Behind them seethed Horus's damned mortal followers, in uncountable number, most half-dead from the gas already, but driven on by hate. He presented his sword, saluted them, and prepared to die.
A rush into the jaws of death, snatched free, to plunge therein again at will, he said. I greet death with a smile on my face.
Sanguinius's voice sliced through the muffling fog as if it were not there.
My brother! My brother! To the aid of my brother!
Katsuhiro snapped off shot after shot. Leaving the traitor space marines to the attentions of the Blood Angels, he downed mutants, sickly men, and turncoat army soldiers. When the call went out, the Blood Angels looked out into the gas, following something he could not see. They stood from the wall as one, and leapt over the sloping rampart.
"Drive them back!"
roared their sergeants.
"Into them for the Emperor! For Sanguinius!"
Caught up in their bloodlust, the Nagandan conscripts rose alongside the Blood Angels and charged after them. Katsuhiro ran behind a line trooper of the Ninth Legion, snapping off opportunistic shots and jabbing with his bayonet. The Blood Angel smashed his way through the lesser humans of the enemy, his fists alone enough to slay the rabble with single blows. He saved his bolts for his traitor kin.
"The Primarch! I see the Khan!" someone called.
Horus's wretches parted for a moment, and Katsuhiro saw a line of Death Guard forming up ahead. Raised above them on a pile of corpses was a giant in white, another Primarch, the Warhawk himself. The Khan was utterly different to his brother Sanguinius, yet fundamentally the same. Like the Great Angel, he was forged of high science and lost arts. Like Sanguinius, he inspired dread and awe in Katsuhiro in equal measure. But where Sanguinius recalled higher, more refined creatures than men, and so inspired humanity to excel, the Khan was a being of caged lightning. He was a storm's fury poured into the shape of man. Where calmness and a near-holy beauty radiated from the angel, the Warhawk was a restless wind that filled Katsuhiro with the need to rush forwards, to charge through the enemy, to ride them down and never stop moving, to doubt all, to know all, to laugh and live fully through the best of times and the worst of times, and then at the last to greet death with a defiant smile.
"To the Khan! To the Khan! For the Emperor!"
the Blood Angel shouted. They pressed forwards again, the poison fog and the swirl of combat obscuring the fate of Jagatai Khan. Katsuhiro speared a man covered in weeping sores through the throat with his bayonet, and hurled back another diseased specimen with a shot to the chest. Many of the enemy had no protection against the gas, and were dying as they fought. The traitorous soldiers of the earlier landings had been replaced by wild-eyed lunatics with sigils of their evil religion burned into their skin. There were people of every desperate sort, hive dregs, mutants, abhumans, and others of the lowest positions in Imperial society. Katsuhiro had wondered how anyone could turn on the Emperor, but confronted with the hatred he saw in the eyes of these savages, he gained an inkling that the dream of Imperium was a nightmare for some. The damned came at them in large numbers, forming a buffer between the Death Guard's line and the Blood Angels. The Ninth Legion fought with terrifying ferocity, but their way was blocked, no matter how many they slew. Katsuhiro's world closed to a few square meters, delineated by the faces of the foe, time measured not in seconds but in kills. He saw, but barely registered, light blazing through the gas. The Blood Angels roared the name of their Primarch,
Sanguinius,
and pushed the enemy harder. Katsuhiro and his fellow mortals were sucked deeper into the horde in their wake, embattled, sure to die, until the last line parted and the enemy dregs fled back into the fog. In reward for his courage, Katsuhiro was privileged to glimpse two of the Emperor's warrior sons fighting side by side. Light shone through the gas, and Sanguinius was there, bright and devastating as a cometary impact, He dived from the heavens into the enemy's midst. In one hand shone his golden sword, in the other he wielded the spear of Telesto. The sword felled traitors with every blow, but the spear's arcane technology was particularly deadly to the tainted Death Guard. With each blast from its gilded head, the Death Guard writhed and gave inhuman squeals and melted in its rays.
"For the Emperor!"
Sanguinius called and saluted his brother. Behind his filth-smeared mask, the Khan grinned and replied,
"For the Emperor!"
and joined his brother's slaughtering. Battle cries went up, and through the gas a mixed group of blood angels, white scars and human soldiers came, cutting through the crowds of men and mutants. Jetpacks howled, and golden-winged warriors thumped down behind the Khan, forming a perimeter. Together, back to back, the Primarchs fought until the Death Guard were reduced to a tattered handful who slipped away into the gas clouds. Gunship engines thundered from the direction of the palace.
"We must depart now," Sanguinius told his brother.
"They will return."
Already the shelling was picking up pace around them.
"Not quite yet, my brother," said the Khan,
pushing past his guardians.
"What are you doing?"
yelled Sanguinius, but followed after the limping Khan.
"My jetpack. I must go to it and unload the images I gathered. The haywire wiped my armor's data cache."
"They're returning, my lords,"
a blood angel shouted. The crackle of bolt gun fire began anew.
"Then fight them off. I need only seconds,"
said the Khan.
"With this, we shall know our enemy better and beat him all the more soundly."
"This is unwise, brother,"
Sanguinius shouted, loosing off a blast from the spear of Telesto.
"Nothing in war is wise. Violence is not wisdom. Do you believe I went over the wall merely for glory?"
"It had crossed my mind you might be bored."
"Ha ha! Hold them back!"
The Khan's laughter turned into coughing.
"Something ails you, brother."
"A poisoned knife," he said.
"They poisoned you?"
"Sorcery brought the sickness. Do not fear. The effect is dwindling. But I trust you to strike off my head should my loyalty appear to waver."
The Khan reached the wreck of his machine and heaved it over. Lights still shone on the instrument panel, and he punched them rapidly. A status bar appeared on the main display.
"They are returning! Hurry!"
said Sanguinius. He raised his spear. A cone of noiseless light snapped out, taking the lives of three Death Guard who approached. More were behind, and Sanguinius leapt at them, sword whirling. A thunderhawk set down close by. Others whooshed by overhead, their bolt guns swiveling as they tracked priority targets in the murk.
"Excellent complete,"
the jet bike's cogitator intoned.
"It is done,"
said the Khan.
"I have what we need."
He stumbled. His wounded leg was still weak.
"Then we go!"
Sanguinius shouted over the howl of the engines. He plunged his sword through the chest of a traitor, kicked another back, and reached out to steady his brother. Together, their armor dulled by rotting blood and mud, the pair of them boarded the Thunderhawk as blood angels fired from the ramp, blasting back the enemy. The Khan limped inside, while Sanguinius stood on the ramp and loosed a pair of final blasts from his marvelous spear. Surrounded by explosions, the gunship took off into a sky crowded with ships. They were harried all the way back over the wall, where a combination of the Aegis and the defensive guns drove off their pursuers. Sanguinius turned away from the open ramp only when they were over the city.
"Did you see what has happened to them?"
he said.
"Mortarian's sons are diseased. Were it not for all I have witnessed, I would not have thought it possible for a legionary to become so afflicted."
"Despite that, brother, they are more resilient than ever."
The seated Khan dragged off his helmet, revealing a pale face drenched with sweat.
"They have sold themselves to the so-called gods of the warp," he said. "Mortarian has fallen far. Once the staunchest opponent of sorcery, he embraces it fully. Truly these gods play with us. They love irony very much."
Sanguinius arched an eyebrow at the Khan.
"You do not look your best, brother."
The Khan shivered.
"I do not feel it. But now we return within the walls, the disease appears to be withdrawing quickly. See the blade that infected me?"
He held up his left hand.
Still clasped in his fist from when he had torn it from his knee, was the Death Guard's combat knife. Beneath its coating of Primarch's blood, it was pitted with rust, and the edge was dull, yet it exuded a sense of peril. Black venom dribbled from the blade over the Khan's fist, evaporating in the air before it hit the ground.
"An evil thing," said Sanguinius.
They passed some threshold over the palace, and the knife blade suddenly crumbled into dust, and the venom boiled away, leaving only the filthy hilt, toy-like, in the Khan's immense palm. The brothers shared a look.
"Curious," said Sanguinius.
"Our father's doing, surely," said the Khan,
marvelling as the hilt collapsed into nothing. A smear of his drying blood, gritted with grains of rust, was all that remained of the weapon.
"His protection is strongest over the palace. That is the only explanation. This is a blade of the warp, and he is proof against its witchcraft. The toxin, too, has gone from my blood. I feel his presence as a cool wind soothes a burn."
He looked up at his brother.
"My equilibrium returns."
He fell silent for a moment, then said,
"On Prospero, Mortarion tried to sway me to Horus's cause. He spoke of the truth, and of Horus's rightness, and of our father's lies."
He clenched his fist.
"I was the most critical of father's designs. But now I see the truth, and it forgives all mistakes on his part. The warp is nothing but madness and corruption. Our brothers lose their minds one by one. When we face Mortarion again, we will fight a facet of a greater evil. A puppet, and not the proud warlord he once was. This troubles me greatly."
Sanguinius's wings twitched. "I cannot recall a time I did not feel troubled, my brother," he said. The Primarchs retreated into the gunship, and it rose from the battle with furious noise, carrying the sons of the Emperor away from immediate danger. The golden guardians of Sanguinius rocketed after the ship, the jet turbines set between their metal wings, screaming like fighting birds.
"Fall back!"
a transhuman voice boomed from the fog.
"Back to the defense line!"
Katsuhiro and the few conscripts still alive fled gratefully. The Space Marines let them run by, holding off the enemy with steady bursts of fire while they escaped. Chaos ruled on both sides. The conscripts had gone into the fog of gas in poor order and came out with none at all. But the Space Marines fought with incredible discipline. The swirl of battle had thrown them together. Red-armoured and white-armoured legionaries stood shoulder to shoulder. To an outsider, it would not have been apparent that most had never fought together before. But the ad hoc units worked smoothly, covering one another as they fell back squad by squad to the defence line. The baying of barely human traitors mocked the retreat, but there was no doubt who was victorious. Hundreds, if not thousands, of lesser mortals blanketed the muddy field, with scores of giants in dirty white strewn among them. There were islands of bright red, and cleaner white too, as well as swift contra-gravity mounts burning on the ground. Nevertheless, the balance was in the loyalists' favour. It was a hollow triumph. They had come only a short way from the ramparts. Soon Katsuhiro found himself scrabbling over broken chunks of rockcrete, only belatedly realizing he had reached the third line. Amid the devastation, he found an intact landmark, a numbered comms tower, its mast lights still blinking, and made his way back to his station. Shells continued to scream down, all of the explosive variety. But he was too exhausted to duck, and left his fate in the hands of the universe. The adrenaline gone, his sickness returned with a vengeance, and his limbs shook. As he made it back to his company's section, the poison fogs began to part. He heard engines in the thinning mist, and saw armoured giants falling back. Tired warriors of his company slumped onto the few intact stretches of rampart left. There were more corpses than living men, and that included Runakan. Manakan lay on his back, staring up at the sky, not far from where he and Katsuhiro had begun the battle, not having made it off the wall. There was no sign of what had killed him. His gas mask was still in place. No claw or knife cut had opened his body. A mass reactive would have left a spread of meat. But though he was unmistakably dead, he looked unmarked. Katsuhiro knelt by Ranakan's side. He'd never liked the man, and the loss he felt took him by surprise. For some reason, he pulled off the other man's mask and wished he hadn't. Ranakan's ratty little face wore a disturbing expression of horrified surprise. Footsteps crunched to a stop behind him.
"Now that is a spot of terrible luck," said Doromek.
Katsuhiro twisted around. The effort required was immense. The mask he wore was poorly designed. His breath had fogged the lenses, and the front pulled to the side as he turned, cutting his vision down further. Doromek peered down. He was unmasked and munching on a piece of bread gripped in one blood-stained hand.
"You can take that off now, you know," he said,
nodding at Katsuhiro's gas mask.
"The air still stinks, but the gas is not concentrated enough to harm you anymore."
Hesitantly, Katsuhiro reached up, unclasped the gas mask, and pulled it off over his head. It slithered on his sweat in a repulsive fashion. The cold of the mountain air was a punch in the face, and the smell of the gas nauseating, but he gulped it down gratefully, glad to be free of the hood.
"Thank the Emperor," said Katsuhiro. "The Emperor protects."
Doromek gave him a curious look.
"You're not one of them, are you? The worshippers?"
I said Katsuhiro. "What? I just heard it somewhere."
"Well," said Doromek, "the Emperor had nothing to do with this. Space Marines and blind chance saved the day."
"Where have the enemy gone?"
"Back," said Doromek. "They reinforced the siege camps. They achieved what they set out to do, I expect. They brought up some artillery under the cover of the fighting, lobbed some shells over the walls."
"Why?"
"Beats me," said Doromek with a shrug. "But they'll have a reason. You can be sure of that. I never knew legionaries do anything without a reason."
Doromek smiled at him.
"You were pretty brave, weren't you?"
Katsuhiro dropped his eyes, letting his gaze settle on Ranakan.
"Leave me alone."
"Suit yourself," said Doromek.
He dropped a packet of bread by Katsuhiro's side and left.
"Don't get too comfortable," he called. "The third line's headed. We'll be pulling back behind the second soon."
Katsuhiro watched until Doromek had gone. When he was out of sight, he grabbed Ranakan. Rolling him over made him grunt with effort. The dead were always heavier than he expected, and in his weakened state, shifting the body was almost too much for him. Ranakan's open eyes disturbed him, and he was gladder than he should have been to pitch him over face down into the mud. What he saw next was worse. He remained staring at Ranakan's back for a long time. The wound that had killed him was a lasburn, neatly placed in his back, right over his heart.